that they update that Reface app with different things, but some of the stuff I'm just like, I'm not interested.
Exactly. That's why I haven't done any in like at least a week or two, because they haven't. I'm like, why would I want to be a dude? First of all, and I don't really care about, like, they had Captain America. Wasn't interested in trying to be
Captain
America.
You didn't want America's ass?
No. I don't know who these people are.
I don't know her.
And, like, Bella Poarch, I don't fucking support her. I don't support anything she does, so definitely not her.
I mean, I don't mind being a dude in her face app.
If it's one that I'm interested in.
I was a good Jack Sparrow.
Like, Pam Anderson, no thank you. Jared Leto, no. Maybe I'll try the Marilyn Monroe. I don't want to be Thor either. So I'm just like, whatever.
All right, dude. How was your...
Not interested.
How was your weekend?
My weekend. It was cool. Gracie had her little birthday party. She was happy. She enjoyed herself. And then today on the way here, she's like, my birthday's in 2 days.
Can I have another party?
I was like, well, you already had a party. So she's like, well, but can I get more presents?
Oh, my goodness.
Can I have cake? I was like, well, the cake is at home. Oh, yeah. I was like, you crazy. Now she's going to be one of those people that's like, it's my birthday month. I'm having a party every day, all day.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah, she's going to be one of those.
Celebrate me.
Those birthday month people that you're just like sick of.
Well, it was funny because we were like, okay, Gracie, you know, yeah, you've had a birthday party. Your birthday's on Tuesday. And she was like, today's not my birthday? That was hilarious.
You knew your birthday was on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
Because you were telling your teacher your birthday is on Tuesday. Yeah. So you know it's not today, little girl. But I didn't tell her, you know, that she was having a birthday party. So she was, I guess, excited about that.
That's awesome. Do you want to talk about anything else you did to yourself over the week?
Nope.
You look a little blonde.
No, I don't. That's one thing that I don't look is blonde. Red, maybe.
Strawberry blonde.
But it ain't that.
Oh, gosh. Your TikTok was great, though. I loved it. What's your name? Guys, if any of you guys are on TikTok, follow Brandy because she's hilarious. What's your name on TikTok?
It's _unicornproblems_. It's the same as Instagram.
Okay.
But, I mean, I figured it would do that because, you know, I figured it wouldn't be strong enough to, like, completely go the color that I bought. So I'll probably end up doing another go-around with, like, something else next week or this week.
Because you wanted it to be, like, Draco Malfoy white, right?
I wanted Draco Malfoy white. I wanted it to be, yeah, like, white. Like, Storm white, but... Shit happens. I'm not going to freak out about it. How was your week?
My week? I've just been hustling, doing a little new rebranding with Beauty's Biscuits. I learned about later.com and putting all my posts together for my business. So
that's hilarious because, I mean,
I've heard about, like, that's what TweetDeck is, right? You used to use that shit all the time.
Yeah, you can use TweetDeck. I used to use... TweetDeck, I used later. There's others too. There's a bunch of others. The problem is that you have to have a professional account to have like unlimited.
Oh, yeah. You only get like 30 posts a month or whatever, one a day, pretty much. Yeah. So I've just been really trying to stay productive with my business. Visit beautiesbiscuits.com for some amazing doggy biscuits. Use offer code LIES.
The lies.
The lies. I updated the website again for our website, Book of Lies. I've been trying to be more productive at work and using LinkedIn more because the calls and the emails, it's like showing effort or whatever, but it's like wasted effort if nobody's checking their fucking emails, if I'm going straight to spam and nobody gives a fuck about their voicemail on their phones. Because I know when I was at my desk, I would like delete
what?
Voicemail messages.
Without listening to them?
I might listen. I don't know. If I would have come back from vacation and I had like 80 messages, I would just get sick. Like, look, if it's important, they'll call back.
Dude, that sucks. I hate that. I hate leaving messages for people to be like, oh, I didn't get it. I'd be like, yeah, you did because I left it.
Oh, man.
And I pressed the confirm button.
I sent it, so you got it, right? Well, that's what I'm saying. So, like, I've been on LinkedIn for years, like, since I've been up in San Francisco. But it's just growing. It's a growing platform now, and that's where professionals are. and, you know, people know that they're going to try to be sold on LinkedIn. So it's like kind of open, you know. So I'm just trying to kind of put a plan into action to sell shit for my business that I work for.
I got a LinkedIn connection and a message from this guy talking about, hi, I see you have a podcast. I just started a podcast and I'm trying to break into or make connections, network in your industry. I'm like, in my industry, what? I was like, what is your podcast about? Like, I don't like when people are like,
vague.
So like, I got a freaking, another message about some guy I'm talking about. He started a podcast. And what kind of guests do you have on your podcast? I was like, we don't have guests. I was like, if we have guests, they're usually like scammers or people who are in the business of busting scammers or frauds or, and he was like, oh, well, thanks. I hope to talk to you later. I'm just like, don't try to pitch yourself to be on my podcast when you don't even know what my podcast is about.
Have you even listened?
Like, all you have to do is fucking type the name in Google and you'll find our podcast. Like, you can actually put Brandy Fleeks in Google and our podcast will pop up. Yeah. So don't fucking cold pitch me about yourself when you're fucking, you know, you don't even know what the podcast is about. That's annoying.
Brandy's pissed.
Do your research.
Don't come at us unless you know us, bro.
Like, I wouldn't go to fucking, what's her name? Caitlin, what's her face? Anyway, I wouldn't go on her and be like, hey, so we talk about scams. Can I come on your podcast? Like, what the fuck? No, that's annoying to me. At least I know what your podcast is about to tell you. Hey, I'd probably be a good guest on your podcast.
Right.
Don't, you know?
No, I feel you. I feel you. And that's the thing. And that's the problem with certain people on LinkedIn and emails and whatnot. They're very vague as fuck. And they're just like casting a wide net and hoping to get some fish in. And that's the problem. People are like, well, you don't care. You don't know what I'm about. You should have known this. If you're trying to pitch yourself to be on my podcast, hopefully you would have listened and you would know our format and you would get it. But you don't.
Like, you just wasted your time and mine.
Okay. That's the problem. So that's what I'm trying to improve. When I'm targeting people or businesses or people in certain businesses, I go stalker. Like, you know, I'm going to go to your website. I'm going to find you. I'm going to find you on LinkedIn. I'm going to read your blogs. And it's a lot of time investment, you know, to contact one person. But yeah, so that's what my week was. I was working all week. I've been working all week.
That's great.
Yeah. So let's get into it. I am Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm full of cramps.
Oh, shit. And this is
Book of Lies.
It's about bitches. Welcome. Welcome back, listeners. And welcome to the new listeners. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. If you want to connect with us on social, please do at Book of Lies Pod on Twitter, at Book of Lies Podcast on Instagram, Book of Lies Podcast on Facebook, and we shot a YouTube video this week. That's what we should have talked about. We shot an unboxing video. That's on our YouTube channel. I added that to our website too, so you could watch our YouTubies if you want to. And yeah, Brandy, what are we talking about?
We're talking about this gentleman who's a scumbag by the name of Efren White Taylor II. He was born in Fort Gibson. What's MS? Mississippi? No.
Missouri.
Fort Gibson, Missouri?
Mm-hmm.
I thought Missouri was MO.
You're right. Mississippi is MS.
Is it MS or MI? Yeah. Michigan is MI.
MI is Michigan.
Okay, so
this is what's that, geography?
The M's, man. There's so many M states. Maine, I get Maine, confused.
Maine, Massachusetts.
Maine is M E. It's so weird.
But there's it's still an M, you know?
Yeah. The ones that confuse me there is the MS, because Missouri and Mississippi are the ones that fuck me up.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in what'd I say?
Where did Fort, I say he was born? Fort Grant, Fort Wayne.
Fort Gibson, Mississippi. Basically, he was born into poverty, you know.
When was he born?
He's in July 1982.
So we the same age a little bit.
Yeah. So basically, like, he was born in, you know, poverty in Mississippi, you know, it's the South. So black people, and he's black. Black people in the South, you know. He started a business when he was 12, designing 3D video games for computers and selling them to his classmates. This is his version of what happened.
This is his story.
This is his story. And then in high school, he co-founded a job search website for teenagers called 4Teens Network, the number 4 Teens Network.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was later renamed GoFerretGo.com, which grew into a multi-million dollar company. And he said he became a millionaire at the age of 16, again, with this video games, and that he was a multi-millionaire by his early 20s. And in 2006, he became the youngest African-American chief executive officer of a publicly traded company when he was named to that job at City Capital Corporation.
So he's the CEO of City Capital Corporation.
Right. And this company is committed to socially conscious investing and community building. So like
at the age of 24.
Just as early 20s.
It was 2006. I'm the same age.
Oh, when he became this, yeah, the young CEO. Yeah, okay.
Look, I'm going to do the math for you.
I'm like, don't say that.
I know what it is.
So in addition to his corporate duties, he apparently was an author, a public speaker, and a radio host.
Mm-hmm.
And he engaged in a bunch of fuckery under that City Capital Corporation company.
The fuckery.
He engaged in a whole bunch of fuckery. So, Efren Taylor would be invited to lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of megachurches.
Oh.
To speak. You know, the pastor, the minister would be like, yes, you know, please welcome Efren Taylor to...
Please welcome Brother Efren.
Yes. And you would think at church, he would be preaching gospel.
Yeah.
Maybe testifying. What he was doing was gathering clients.
Okay.
Investors. In his community building and his socially conscious ventures.
Okay.
He managed to get a whole bunch of people to invest their money with him. I didn't get to watch it, but there was an episode of American Greed on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sources on this one are ABC News, MSNBC, and justice.gov.
Mm-hmm.
Basically what he was doing. He would go to these churches and he would, you know, basically say, I've got this investment going on. You know, we're building the community, people. We're building the community. And most of the people, these churches were black churches or churches that had a lot of black followers. Like he even went to one of Joel Osteen's churches.
Oh, okay.
And what he was doing was selling promissory notes.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. That were backed by socially responsible ventures like small businesses and affordable housing projects. And one of the churches that he visited was New Birth Baptist Church in Atlanta, where the pastor, his name was Pastor Eddie Long, and he introduced him to, of course, the crowd on Sunday morning. And one of the members of the church said, everything he says is based on the word of God. He was one of those people that got people interested via prosperity gospel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Jim Jones. I mean, oh my
Pastor God. Pastor Lute.
Not Jim Jones. Jim Baker.
Check out our Pastor Lute, Jim Baker episode. It's a good time. And if any of you guys are looking for a place to spend your money, go ahead and meet us on Patreon. www.patreon.com/bookoflies podcast.
There's an extra W.
www.
So basically he would say, like, you know, during one of his Sunday morning pitches, because that's what it was. It was a pitch. It wasn't a sermon. We're going to show you how to get wealth and use it for the building of his kingdom, God's kingdom,
mm-hmm.
The building of his kingdom. And it was called his Building Wealth Tour. So this is what he did. He went on basically a countrywide tour, going to these churches on his Building Wealth Tour,
mm-hmm.
gathering investors.
This is making money tour, building his own wealth tour. Yes. That's what that is. Yeah. Bullshit.
And his tour touted self-improvement, and he would go and he'd have private meetings with, you know, the people that he was getting to invest in these things, promising them, you know, 20% returns on their investment. Promissory notes. Some of the people, basically they gave him their life savings.
Poor bastard.
Because they thought that they were doing the Lord's work. But the SEC... was like, no.
Not today, Satan.
This is a Ponzi scheme. So basically what he did was...
I have a question. So were the churches bringing him in because they were like, oh, you're so young, you're so successful, you're black, come on in and, you know, tout what you've been taught or what you've learned or how you pulled yourself out of poverty. Like what?
I don't know. I don't know why any church would want this man to come into their pulpit. I'm guessing because maybe the church, you know, churches do nonprofit stuff. They invest in like community building and things like that. But
maybe he was donating money to talk to them.
I can't see a church paying somebody to come and talk to their congregation.
I'm saying he is paying the church. Hey, let me donate. Oh. Let me give you $1,000 toward your building fund or whatever. And then, oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, would you mind if I talk to your congregation?
Okay. I hear what you're saying. You know, it says that the pastors would ask him to come.
I'm sure
after he, you know, basically fluffed them a little, probably.
A little bit.
Yeah. So basically he swindled over $11 million. Most of his donors or most of his investors were Black people.
Of course.
Or African-American churchgoers, as it says. He said he grew up dirt poor in Blackwater, Mississippi. And that's when he, you know, became rich with this video game bullshit. Apparently, he was interviewed by ABC in 2007, and they asked him how much he was worth. And he said, oh, maybe $20 million on a bad day. And that was in 2007. And so he told people that, you know, he had his philosophy was socially conscious investing. And that's what made him, you know, attracted him to church members and church, you know.
Goers.
Yeah, churchgoers, what do you call them? And, you know, the pastors and everything, because he was socially conscious, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean when we see what he actually did.
I would love to see what he actually did.
One of his victims, her name is Lillian Wells, she said he quoted scriptures and he met, you know, privately with her. She tried to get a hold of him later on when, you know, after investing, when she wanted to get her money back, and like he just disappeared.
Fucking asshole.
He disappeared.
He ghosted her.
Yeah. She couldn't get a hold of him. Nothing. Got nothing.
That sucks. That really sucks. There's no worse feeling than when you think that you've gotten conned and then you really have gotten conned and you're like, gosh, this sucks.
Yeah. She said he convinced her to invest her entire life savings in a North Carolina-based real estate venture, which he claimed was turning around homes in inner cities. And she was promised 20%, a 20% return on her money. It doesn't say how much her life savings was, though.
Right.
Because one person's life savings could be $50,000. Another person's life savings could be $500,000. Another's could be, you know, $1 million. So it doesn't say how much hers was specifically. But, you know, she said she couldn't get a hold of him. She couldn't get a hold of anybody. Nobody would answer the phone. She basically never heard from him again.
That's fucked up. I would have found him. Look at, I got crazy eyes right
I'll
now.
I'll find you. She was forced to file for bankruptcy. And she says she's not sure if she'll ever get her money back. This was in 2013, that her story.
That's sad that she had to file for bankruptcy. Because if this was her life savings, maybe something happened. Never give anybody all of your money ever. Don't give them.
These guys
money.
Are good, though. You give me all your money, and I'll give you 20% return.
Within 30 days, I promise. And then you're like, this is a risk. This is definitely a gamble. I'd be like, fuck you and the click that you claim. Get out of here with that.
Yep. And a woman that worked for him by the name of Lisa Conway, she became suspicious of him after she started working for him in 2010.
Okay.
She said, at first, she was excited to sell another type of investment City Capital was pitching, but soon she began to suspect that the business was not on the up and up. I wanted to believe the answers were legit when we had the meeting, she said, but I would see things that weren't appropriate. She started to think that the money that was coming in was lining his pockets, and it was. He was spending his money on car payments, credit card bills, rent on a New York City apartment. He paid for his wife to basically try to have a music career. He paid for a music video for her.
For a fucking Melissa Gorga.
Her name is Michelle. Taylor.
Same thing.
Yeah, basically he fucking rented studio time and he produced or paid for a music video.
On display.
Where they were wearing furs and diamonds. And guess what the song was called?
Dripping Fraud.
No, fraud.
Dripping Fraud.
No, it was called Millionaire or Billionaire.
Billionaire. Yeah,
billionaire.
Billionaire taking these motherfuckers' money. promissory notes, 20% nothing. I don't know. It was the wife singing the song. It wasn't him. Sorry. Just kidding.
So she, the lady that worked for him, she said that the investors started suspecting that there was bullshit going on, and they started to panic, and they began like knocking on the door. Like they were showing up to the office, knocking on doors. Good. Like, excuse me, hello. They put locks on the doors because people were coming in pissed off.
Missed the clock.
She said he started to panic, sensing that his house of cards was gonna was beginning to crumble. You could see him sweating, she said.
Okay, I have a question. So if you've got this job as the CEO of this, you know, amazing
city
company,
capital,
why can't you pay your own fucking bills?
Like, they weren't paying bills. The company wasn't even paying its bills.
Oh, shit.
So he, not only is he not paying his own bills, he's using the money from that. He's not even paying the company's bills with the money that they're bringing in.
That's fucked up.
The investors were, of course, getting unreturned phone calls, and then they were getting empty promises. Oh, yeah, we'll get your money. We'll get your money. They never got their money. The money that was coming in was all from new investors. None of it was ever like they weren't making returns on anything. He wasn't investing in projects, in these inner city projects, in these whatever.
Sounds like a fucking liar to me.
That was in, yeah, and that was in North Carolina.
Because I was wondering, he has to definitely be moving around to fraud a bunch of people.
He went to Texas because he was going all over the place. So that was in North Carolina, right? So in Texas, another a couple also fucking got involved with this shit. Gary and Anita Dorio, they met Efren Taylor at Joel Osteen's church in Lakewood, Texas. Gave him $1.3 million. $1.3 million they gave him, this one couple.
That's ridiculous.
That was their whole life savings and her mother's retirement.
Damn. You gave up mama's retirement?
Mm.
No.
And they said it was like, it seemed like a good deal for about a year because at the beginning of the time, he started sending them checks for $11,000 every month.
$11,000?
He was sending them checks for $11,000.
He had to keep that shit afloat for a little bit.
They said, he asked us, what do you need? Give me a figure. And he made it happen, said Gary Dorio. The Dorios said the paperwork Taylor provided was very convincing. They thought he was in, they thought that they were investing in an inner city laundromat, a juice bar, and a gas station. And they got pictures of the businesses that they were supposed to be operating. And they called whoever was answering the phone at City Capital, answered the phone.
City Capital, how can I help you?
Yeah. And they thought everything was good. And then later they found out that the businesses that they thought they were investing in didn't exist. And they weren't the only ones.
I bet.
Hundreds of people who invested in Texas were told the same story. Thought the shit was true. And it wasn't. An attorney in Texas named Kathy Lerman said, I cannot tell you how many people have said to me, I thought I was the only one. And my family was so angry with me, I took our life savings and ruined it. This was coming from a bunch of different people that invested in this man. In the end, they had to, okay, so the Dorios got, they got a rental property in Cleveland from this situation. But it came with a catch, a $67,000 bill for back taxes on the property. The property, I'm guessing this is after all of this came to a head. The head office of the business Taylor listed in their documents was nothing more than a post office box inside a UPS store in Tennessee.
Motherfucker.
So even though he had a business address, it was a P.O. box inside a UPS store in another state.
Well, I guess I have a business address too, huh?
Yeah, technically.
It's a P.O. box.
But it's not a physical address.
In Rosemond.
Yeah.
I hate people like this. I'm gonna just say it right now.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking hate people like this that they just take. They take, they take, they take, they don't care. And it's like, oh, well, there's more of you assholes out there, more dumb-dumbs out there.
That's why he went from state to state.
Who want to be better, who want to invest in something, and these fucking jackholes take their money and leave a horrible taste in their mouth. That's why people are so suspicious.
Yeah.
So, as you should be.
Yeah.
But fuck.
The thing about this, okay, so this type of crime is called religious affinity fraud because you get people who are related in some way, either by their faith or by a community, sometimes just by family, mm-hmm. and you get them all together and they all invest in this one thing or this project or this whatever, you know, they invest because they trust their church.
Right.
Or they trust their community leaders. And so why would my pastor lead me astray? Mm-hmm. Why would he, you know, allow me to get involved in this? You know, he's the messenger of God.
Is he?
But this is what happened. Yeah, and it happens way more often than...
Affinity fraud. It's not even just religious. It's just called affinity
fraud. Yeah, this is religious affinity fraud when it's involved in the church.
Well, it says affinity fraud refers to investment scams that prey upon members of identifiable groups, such as religious or ethnic communities, the mm-hmm. elderly, or professional groups.
Yeah. Dick! So at New Birth Baptist Church in Atlanta, because that, oh yeah, it was Atlanta that Lillian Wells lost her money. The Dorios are in Texas. When she talked to her pastor, she went in to talk to the pastor about what happened. Mm-hmm. He said, the church ain't got no money.
Oh, because she was like, I need some money.
She was like, you brought this man into our church and, you know, he took all my money and he took my life savings. And he's like, well, the church ain't got no money. I don't know.
He's like, I couldn't help that I took that $1,000 for him to come in and talk to y'all. Then he done took your money. We ain't got no money. We can't help you, sister.
So the church, I mean, the Bishop Eddie Long from the church, from New Birth Baptist Church, made a video in 2011 pleading with Efren Taylor to return the money to the church. Because he took the money from the church, too.
That's messed up.
The church told ABC News, they do continue to hope the responsible parties will restore the funds they took from congregants at New Birth Baptist churches and around the community. Gary and Anita Dorio, they said that they forgave Taylor and they hope that God, you know, he sees justice from God's hands. He went into hiding.
I bet he
did. Efren Taylor went into hiding for a while. I don't know how long he was in hiding, but he was missing. Like, nobody could find him. And one day, his wife got caught. So there was this place called Panacea Massage. And there was a woman who would go to their salon for services, and she called herself Liz Taylor.
Goodbye.
The people who worked at the salon said they noticed that her husband would arrive with her almost daily, and then they would talk about their lost money. Because this, their whole thing came crashing down in 2010. The whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they went broke. They had to file for bankruptcy. They went broke. They didn't have any money. And all the people who had invested also never saw any money. So, and they went into hiding. They said that after, you know, this lady who was coming in, they saw her license and noticed that the name on her license said Michelle Taylor. Mm. She was coming in as Liz Taylor. Mm-hmm. After 30 minutes of Googling her name, the salon owner said that the whole can of worms opened up and the whole multi-million-dollar scam thing all surfaced on the internet. And that's how it all came together. She said she was like, oh my God. So the salon workers made the connection that Michelle was Efren Taylor's wife. And then they emailed ABC's News, who called the lookout. They went to Kansas, which is where they were. So she was going to the salon in Kansas, and found Efren and Michelle at an apartment complex, but they wouldn't answer the team's questions. Efren told the lookout at one point on camera, I have no idea. And the lookout requested a formal interview with Efren Taylor. His attorney told the team, I have no comment. The SEC, of course, got involved, and they started fucking filed charges against him for fraud. He had an accomplice. Her name was Wendy Connor. She apparently worked with him for 5 years while they did this whole thing.
Oh, I forgot to mention it. We've got a promo this week. So we're going to take a quick break and have a listen to this promo from a fellow podcast.
Hey, this is Ken M.
Padawan Jay.
Coach Duffy.
From the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour podcast. Every week, the ODPH is talking sports, movies, TV, comics, and more. It's always a parlay of topics on each episode. You can find the ODPH on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, and wherever you find great podcasts, such as the one you're listening to right now. Don't forget to check out OchoDuroParlayHour.com, where you can find the links to all of the ODPH social media accounts, links to the bands whose music you hear each week on the show, hashtag 607 podcast info, and parlay points, our companion blog section of the show. Thanks for listening to the ODPH. Now get back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Okay, we're back. Yay. Brandon, what did he get charged with?
Okay, so he was convicted. He was convicted on fraud charges. And he was sentenced on October 8th, 2014. He was convicted. He was sentenced to 19 years, 7 months in prison. And then he will be on supervised release for the next 3 years. He was ordered to pay restitution of $15,590,752.81.
Don't forget the 81 cent.
Wendy Connor, his accomplice, was also sentenced to 5 years. And then she would be on 3 years of supervised release. And the first 18 months of which are home confinement. And she's ordered to pay restitution in the amount of $5,818,299.13.
I saw his picture. He doesn't look like a creeper. Like, he looks trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, she pleaded guilty to interstate transportation of the money taken by fraud. So he did the fraud and she moved the money across state lines.
She fucking laundered that shit. Oh, Efren, you need somebody to wash that money for you, honey? Sure do. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what happened. He is in prison. He will be there for the next... This was in 2014 that he was sentenced. So
19 years on top of that.
He got 19 years.
2035.
It's fucked up that he's going to churches, taking people's money.
And so he wasn't even following through on the business that he's the CEO of. And what about this video game? Was it real or what?
That's his story. I don't know. I didn't see any receipts about these video games that he apparently became a millionaire from. I didn't see, anything about that. So I didn't watch the American Greed episode. So I don't, know if they talked to anybody that knew him in middle school, because that's when he said he was 14. You don't go from inventing video games to becoming a scammer.
It's strange. It's just like, how did you get to that point?
Exactly.
And if you're the CEO of a successful company, why are you fucking frauding people unless it's just so fucking easy to you?
Well, Bernie Madoff did it.
Well, that was his whole get down. But he wasn't going to churches, but he was fucking over his friends.
Yeah, and the people that he ripped off were Jewish.
Yeah, so he was hitting up a lot of organizations and things of that nature. But the no, I can't take your money. Okay, I'll take your money. That's episode 2, Bernie Madoff, if you haven't heard it. But I hate this kind of person and the people out there that do this, that just prey on other people. I hope you have fucking hemorrhoids at least. I really hope you are uncomfortable and you are sick from what you've done. Do you know what I'm saying?
Heartburn, something, huh?
Something, heartburn, indigestion. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
All right, so he's on lockdown. He's in jail.
He's in prison. Yep.
What about his wife?
Apparently, she wasn't the one doing it. But
she was just spending the money.
She, of course, and, making music videos, trying to be famous. So,
dude! So, I watched Saturday Night Live earlier today with Bill Burr.
Yeah.
He hosted it. And before I even watched that episode, I saw something on the internet and they're like, oh, Bill Burr divides the U.S. with his opening statement. And someone was like, oh, I had to turn it off because it was so uncomfortable. So I was like, oh, shit, I got to watch it. I have to know what's going on. And if I get uncomfortable, I'll stop it.
Okay.
Bill Burr, my dude.
Bill Burr is Bill Burr.
He cracks me up.
Yeah, he's funny.
He goes in. He's talking about white women. So he was just like, how did, white women become... in the middle of this, how are they oppressed pretty much, and how they step themselves inside of
they because oppressor. White people want to be oppressed for some reason.
Well, check it out. He was just like, but he was just dogging white women, which is kind of fucked up. But listen, he was like, you guys, back in the day, you would reap the rewards of your husband's bullshit. You would, spend their money and live life. And when you wanted to fuck off, you would go have sex with the black guy. And then when you got caught, it was non-consensual.
Right.
He was like, you come here and you take this lashing right now. You did this, And I was laughing just the way he presented it because it was hilarious. And it happened.
It's factual. Yes.
It happened.
It's facts.
Lots of black men back in the day died because the hoes was like, come on, it's fine. They're like, okay, I'll tap that. Mm-hmm. And no, they're hanging from a fucking tree.
Yeah.
It's real. It happened. And I'm not.
And they're still doing it, though.
They're still doing it. So that's why Black Lives Matter. Period.
That's not the only reason Black Lives
Matter. That's not the only reason. But I just thought Bill Burr was just like.
He came for them.
He came for them. He came for everybody. He was like, I wear a mask. I don't have a problem with wearing a mask. If you wear a mask, that's fine. If you don't wear a mask, I don't care. Kill your grandmother. Kill your cousin who has asthma. You're an asshole. It's fine. God. It was funny. I was serious. Like, he cracks me up.
Yeah, I bet.
I love Hulu for that.
I haven't watched SNL in I don't know how long.
Well, first of all, it's been on hiatus for 4 months.
Yeah, well, because it's a live show.
Exactly. And they came back last week with Chris Rock hosting and Megan Thee Stallion performing.
Right.
And then this week was the second episode with Bill Burr and Jack White performing. I love SNL. Like, they crack me up. I'm tickled by their humor.
And they stay on top of current events.
They really do. And... you know, that's how I get my news. It's from SNL.
That's weird.
It's not 100% true. That's where I get all of my news from, but I wish. Anyway, so he's gone to jail. That guy's a fraud. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. Brandy, what's your thumbs up for the week?
Ugh. I watched American Murder today. I watched it. It was all of the body cam and, like, the documentary. Like, footage of Chris Watts' family, Shannon Watts and her two kids, Cece and Bella. Last year, Chris Watts went on trial for killing his wife and his two daughters, his pregnant wife and his two daughters.
Oh, this motherfucker up in like Colorado or something?
Yes, in Colorado. So I watched it.
Oh my God.
And it just like he was a family annihilator. That's what they call, you know, people that kill their families. And he just did it because he got a girlfriend. That was it. I was like, this is totally freaking Scott Peterson, except for Scott Peterson didn't already have two children, but his wife was pregnant, and he was trying to cheat on his wife with this other woman.
Yeah.
But it was just like, dude.
Why do you have to kill your whole family because you have a girlfriend?
Exactly. Why can't you just get a divorce?
Why can't you just play the relationship out and shut the fuck up and do your thing on the side? Don't worry about what I'm doing. Let me live my life because this shit's going to fizzle. And if it doesn't fizzle, fuck off. We don't need you. Don't kill us, son of a bitch.
Yeah, he killed his wife and his two daughters. Okay, so it was all, like, body cam footage, the interrogation room footage.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, the footage of her, because she, you know, she was doing
Instagram video. Live.
Yeah, okay. Right. So stories. It was all footage pieced together. But, yeah, like, you see him in the interrogation room, and they let his dad come in and talk to him. And his dad's like, you know, you got to tell me, you know, what happened. He's like, oh, she killed the kids. And so I killed her because of what she did to the kids. But then later on, he goes and confesses that he killed her. He strangled her to death. And then he put the kids in the car and took her, buried her body, and then dropped his kids in a fucking, a water tank while they were still alive.
Again, monsters live among us.
It's awful. Monster. The day that she went missing, her friend was like, I'm worried about my friend. I dropped her off this morning at 2:00 in the morning. She's supposed to go to the doctor at 9:00. It was after. She was like, she had an appointment at 9:00 to go to the doctor. She didn't show up. She, you know, I can't get her to answer her phone. She's not answering the door. He was supposed to be at work. And they had people, I don't know, like maybe his family friends or her friends or something. But there was a guy there who was like, he's not acting right. He never talks. Now suddenly he's babbling his head off.
At work?
No, to the police. Oh, when he was the guy was like, he's not acting right. And he was like, you know, this is weird. He's always quiet. He never really says anything. But now all of a sudden the police are here and he's just like chattering away. It was really, really weird. I was like, oh shit, he called that shit. Like, he knew that something wasn't right with this dude. Mm-hmm. It was just messed up. The whole thing was just messed up.
That's fucked up. Like,
and it was all because he got a girlfriend.
I'm angry.
My thumbs up for the week is what?
Did you watch the finale of The Boys?
I missed that. I did not see it. I have to watch it.
I guess we won't talk about it.
Yeah, no, I didn't watch it on Friday. What was I doing on Friday? I was at mom's house. So I missed it. And then yesterday we were over here, so no, I haven't had a chance to watch it. I mean, I watched what I watched this morning, but that was it. And I watched that. What else did I watch? I watched something else too this morning. A movie. Oh, that Hubie movie. I watched
it. Hubie Halloween.
Yeah. What'd you watched think? That. I was like, okay, like
this is goofy.
Yeah, it was just like, all right, weird. It was weird.
I only watched half of it because I was just like, all these characters are coming back. This is funny. And then the kids were bugging me. And so I was just like, let me just watch it later where I can enjoy it.
Yeah, it was just, a goofy movie. Just like, all right.
Okay, Adam. I love that Adam Sandler keeps his content fresh.
His daughter is in it, though. She's so big.
Well, we're getting old.
I know. I was like, hey, that's Adam Sandler's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I like how, what's her name? The character, her last name is Valentine, because Vicky Valentine. Was her name Vicky Valentine?
Vicky Valancourt.
Let me touch her boobs. But, yeah, so I watched those this morning. But my thumbs up for the week. I don't really have one, so maybe I'll try to find one. What's your thumbs up for the week?
I'm really excited about those fall pitches we took yesterday. So we took some pictures. I'm really excited to post and share the photos. We made a little fall scene in the backyard, so that's cool. And I don't know. Oh, my anniversary is next week, so I'm gonna try and we're gonna go out or something.
Your wedding anniversary.
My wedding anniversary. 5 years. 5 years, y'all. I want to go do something. Can you watch the children?
I don't know. What day is that on?
Saturday? Our anniversary is on a Sunday, but we're probably going to do something on that Saturday.
I don't know what is happening on.
Nothing's happening, Saturday. So can you watch my children?
How do you know? I might have plans to go to Cabo. You don't know.
I remember 2020 happened and all plans were canceled.
Is that what you're... Well, exactly. Plans are canceled.
I haven't made them yet. I'm trying to. I'm trying to make plans, but I don't know. Like, I'm just keep moving forward. Honestly, that's about it, dude. I'm just trying my hardest, living my best life, because you never know what's gonna happen.
Trying to keep breathing, yeah.
I'm gonna try to keep breathing. Like last week, this is so dark, but my daughter's teacher died.
Ugh.
And it was very random. And last week, I think that's what kind of shook me earlier in the week. I was just like, the fuck? Like, this woman was younger than me, I believe. And we don't know what happened to her. And that was a little jarring. That's why I'm just like, treat yourself. Because if you die tomorrow,
yeah,
it's over. I hope you enjoyed it while you were here, because you've only got one life to live. YOLO.
YOLO.
I mean, other than that, y'all, thank you guys for being here. Thank you for listening. And we're just going to keep living and finding another day, pretty much. But make sure you vote. Do your thing. Subscribe. Leave us a review if you like this episode. If you didn't, leave us a review anyway. 5 stars, please. And thank you guys so much for listening. We love you. And we will be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this was Book of Lies. The podcast.
It has been The Pulp, bitches.